Okay, Parshas VaYigash has the meeting between Yaakov and Yosef after the 22 years of separation, and it says VaYipol Tzavarov, that Yosef fell on Yaakov's shoulders, and Rashi brings down the very well known Maamar Chazal that Aval Yaakov lo nafal, but Yaakov didn't fall on Yosef's shoulders, because as opposed to earlier where it said about Yosef and Binyamin, they fell on each other's shoulders. Over here it says specifically that Yosef fell on Yaakov's shoulders. So Chazal noticed that it's not saying that Yaakov fell on Yosef's shoulders. And the Gemara says because he was saying Kriya Shema. Yaakov lo nafal v'lo nashkai shohei kriya Shema. So everybody asks the question, what, Dafka, now he had to be saying Shema? And, you know, isn't there, couldn't he say Shema before, couldn't he say Shema after? And if there's some reason why this is Dafka where he has to say Shema, when he has to say Shema, so why wasn't Yosef saying Shema at this time? So the Maral is a very, very worthwhile piece, a gewaldige shtickle in the Maral, in the Gur Aryeh, on this Rashi. That's his pirush on Rashi al HaTorah. And the Gur Aryeh over here, he says that this Kriya Shema that Yaakov was saying when he met Yosef had nothing to do with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the first 3 hours of the day. You have to say Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. That's not what was going on here. This was that Kriya Shema is Kabbalas HaMalach HaShemayim. It's Avas Hashem, right? We say V'Avtas Hashem Lekecha. The Rishon Brura actually brings down from the Baal HaRedim that every time a person says Kriya Shema, he says V'Avtas Hashem Lekecha, he has to work on being Mekayim that. He has to do the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. He has to think about what it means to love Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu did that all the time. He would devote himself, he devoted his feelings towards service of Hashem. Like the Zohar Kaddish says, that the Dechilu Urechimu, the Ava and the Yira that accompany a mitzvah, it's the Lashon of the Zohar Kaddish, that they're the Gedanfin, they're the wings that make the mitzvah fly off. A person does a mitzvah, but if he does it without feeling, without emotion, so it stays down on the ground. The wings that enable the mitzvah to fly up to the Kisei HaKavod are the Dechilu Urechimu, that means the Ava and the Yira. Real Yiddishkeit is supposed to be a very emotional experience. It's supposed to be that you're harnessing all of your feelings towards your relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlom. And Yaakov Avinu, no doubt, had been doing that his whole life. He had been devoting himself with Ava and with Yira to the Rebbeinu Shlom. But at this moment, he had an experience. He was just reunited with his son, who was beloved, his favorite son, who he was separated from, and he thought that he was never going to see him again, and now he was reunited, and he felt a surge of emotion that exceeded anything he had ever felt before. Zuck the Maral, Yaakov Avinu felt, you know, all my life I've been devoting my Ava, my Simcha, all my feelings to the Rebbeinu Shlom. This feeling I never devoted to the Rebbeinu Shlom. I never had such a feeling before. I never experienced such a strong feeling. So I never yet dedicated this much Ava to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So therefore, that was the time to say Shema. He said Shema to be mekabel amalcha shemayim, to be mekayim the mitzvah of avtas shem lekecha in a way that he never did before. So that's why that was the moment to say Shema. As the Maral says, it had nothing to do with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, right? It's the Rashi says, Sheikari is Shema. It's like the Maral, it was to devote a new level of Ava to his relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlom. Now, interestingly, there are other, this is what I think is the Pashup Shat. I don't mean the whole shtickle of the Maral, but the idea that the Chazal means something about how Yaakov was engaging in Avas Hashem, that's with some of the Pashup Shat. Not that it was the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, that punk then he was saying Kriya Shema. But there are a number of Mefarshim that go with that other Mahalach, that, no, it's the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And they asked the question, so how come Yaakov was saying, if it was the Zman of Kriya Shema, why was Yaakov saying, and if it wasn't the Zman of Kriya Shema, so why was Yaakov saying? So there's a very interesting piece in the Sifsei Chachamim. The Sifsei Chachamim is, again, one of the Mefarshim on Rashi, which is brought down in the Mekreis Gedolos Chumashim. The Sifsei Chachamim says that it's very meduktik that Yaakov was saying Shema. Really, it was the Zman of Kriya Shema. And Yaakov was saying Shema because of the mitzvah. But Yaakov was saying, and not Yosef, because Yosef was Pater from Kriyat Shema. Why? Because Yosef was Mitzvah, Pater from a Mitzvah. And he was being Mekayim Kibbut Av Va'Em. He was coming to his father at this time, and by just being present for his father, he was honoring him, he was giving him a gift. So he was being Yosef and Kibbut Av Va'Em, so he was Pater from Kriyat Shema. But Yaakov wasn't Yosef and Mitzvah now, so he was saying Kriyat Shema. That's what this is a Chacham says. They say over B'Shem Reb Chaim that he had a vart along these lines, meaning also taking this approach that this was a real mitzvah kriyat shema with hilchas kriyat shema. But he has a different mahalach to explain why Yaakov yes and Yosef no. The same general idea that had to do with Yosef b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah, but he does it just the opposite way around. He says the reason why Yosef wasn't saying kriyat shema now is because he said kriyat shema already. Since you don't only have 1 minute to say Kriyat Shema, you have 3 hours to say Kriyat Shema. So Yosef said Kriyat Shema already. But Yaakov, he didn't say Kriyat Shema yet because he was Yosef B'Mitzvah. What do you mean? What Yosef B'Mitzvah? So the Reb Chaim says, we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, V'yeir Yaakov Mitzrayma, Onus Al Pi Adibur. It's the lesson that we use, that he was forced because Al Pi Adibur, meaning because Hashem had told him to. That was an avuah that we read about in this week's parasha, where Hashem told him that he should go down to Mitzrayim, and then he said v'yosef yashis yaday aleinacha, meaning that Yosef will meet you, he'll take care of you. That was all part of the avuah that when Hashem came to Yaakov b'maris halayla before he left Eretz Canaan, he was told that you'll go down to Mitzrayim and you'll see Yosef. So as long as, and that's what that, when we say that, Anos Al Pi Adibur means, because he was commanded, but that Nevuah, he was commanded to go down to Mitzrayim. Now that command said two things, that you should go down, it's the Lashon I think is the Lashon, right? So the Pasuk talks about how he should go down to Mitzrayim, and then the Pasuk adds, V'yosef yashis yada aleinecha. Now Yosef's going to meet you and he's going to take care of you. So as long as Yaakov was involved in being kind of that nevuah, that's the Onos Al Pi Adibur, he was Yosef B'Mitzvah. The nevuah was to go down to Mitzrayim and to meet Yosef. So while he was going down to Mitzrayim, he was part of from Kriyat Shema, he was Yosef B'Mitzvah. Even after he reached Mitzrayim, but until he met Yosef, the nevuah had said, V'Yosef Yoshes Yod Eleinacha, so until he met Yosef, he was Yosef B'Mitzvah, so he was part from Kriyat Shema.
What's the mitzvah? To make sure that the nevuah happens?
To fulfill the nevuah. He was given instructions by the Rebbeinu Shlalom. So that's, we're considering that a mitzvah. Yeah. So he was Yosef B'Mitzvah, he was part from Kriyat Shema. Now he met Yosef. So the whole nevuah was Niskayim. So his mitzvah, his marching orders were fulfilled. So the minute they were fulfilled, so he said Kriyat Shema. So now he was saying Kriyat Shema. Yosef was Pater, was already Mekayim the mitzvah. Yaakov was Yosef B'Mitzvah, Pater the mitzvah until this point, and at this point he became Chaim in the mitzvah. That's why he was saying Kriyat Shema, not Yosef. That's from Chaim's Vart. Now both of these, we'll call it Vertlach, this is Chachamim and Reb Chaim, they both use Yosef B'Mitzvah, Pater the mitzvah, kind of a shtickle to explain why one was Chaim and the other one was not Chaim. And I have to confess, and we've had a discussion like this in the past, I, you know, when I read this kind of thing, I kind of assume that it's halfway tongue-in-cheek.
Exercise.
Right. That, it's al derech drush, but, you know, Chazal aren't really teaching Hilchas Kriyat Shema over here. It's really, about the story. And the way the Maral says makes a lot of sense, that Chazal mean to be emphasizing the emotions that they were feeling at that point. And these ideas about, the details of Hilchas Kriyat Shema, the Lomdus Shtik and Hilchas Kriyat Shema, I would have thought was meant not mamish alibi de emes, that this is the true pshat in the Pasuk and in the Medrash. However, see, that's what I would have thought, but I stand corrected. Because I saw a shtickle there's a shtickle that refers to this Gemara in the Bir HaGra. Yeah, the Bir HaGra, that's the Vilna Gaon on Shulchan Aruch. The Bir HaGra, that's my phone, somebody's calling me.
That's another bait.
No.
It is a stretch to think that this is exactly, even if they were mechuyev mitzvahs, which they were probably not, to say that the zmanim and the zman kishma, I mean, like,
my sentiments exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. But now listen to this. This is a Bir HaGrah. So first of all, it's the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is the most serious person we know. Right. He doesn't fool around. Not that all of his writing is in halacha. He has a lot of writing in machshava, but it's generally understood that if he says, let's say, in his Pirush on Mishlei, you know, where it's all in Yoni Machshava, and of course his writings in Kabbalah that I don't really have any exposure to, but whatever he says, that this is a pshat in a medrash, in a gemara, and in a garata, he means that he thinks this is the real pshat. But especially Lachas Kama V'Chama, this is in his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch. This is a Bir HaGra. He's giving him a kar for a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. He clearly meant that he was taking this kipshuta, that this medrash was talking about real Kriya Shema, Latzitz Deichai Vasai, because we're learning from here Hilchas Kriya Shema. So listen to what the Gra says. This comes up in Simon Samach Vav. So let's give some background. Simon Samach Vav in Shulchan Aruch is the Mishnah at the beginning of the second paragraph of Brachas. I'm sure most of you have at some point or another learned Mishnayos and Masechas Brachas. Says the Mishnah over there, I'll remind you, it talks about how in the middle of Kriya Shema, you could be Shoyel or Meshiv, B'nei HaKavod, B'nei HaYira. There's different levels, different madrigas of being mafsik during Kriya Shema. If somebody says hello to you, could you answer back? What about for you to initiate, could you say hello to somebody else? And it says that the machlokes are made in Rabbi Yehuda, and there's different levels about whether you're initiating, that's being shoyel b'shalim, or you're responding, that's called being meshiv. And there's different levels about whether it's be'emsa perak or be'na prakim, and then there's the matter of whom you're talking to. Is it b'pnei hayira, b'pnei hakavod, or l'chol adam? So there's a whole complicated Mishnah. The way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha l'maisa, is that bein haprakim, you're allowed to be shoyel mepnei hakavod umeshiv l'chol adam, meaning that if you see somebody that you're supposed to respect, meaning a talmid chacham, an older person, a zaken, or the Mishnah, no, parents are going to be in the next category, that's why I'm holding off on that. A talmid chacham, a zaken, or an usher. The Mishnah says an usher that's roi l'chabdim b'pnei oishroi, also somebody that's treated with respect, so you're allowed to bein haprakim, you're allowed to say hello, and to be meishiv l'chol adam. Even if an ordinary person, a peer, somebody that you don't, that you know, on the same level as you are on the totem pole, you're allowed to be meishiv. That's bein haprakim. Be'emtza haperek, so you're allowed, Bamsa Perak is more chomer, so you're only allowed to be shoyel mepnei hayira, and I'm sorry, you're only allowed to be shoyel mepnei hayira, and you can be meishiv mepnei hakavod. So mepnei hakavod means the category that we were talking about before, a zaken, a talmid chacham, an asher, that's to be meishiv, and to be shoyel is only mepnei hayira. What's the tashma mepnei hayira? So Rashi says mepnei hayira means somebody that you're afraid could hurt you, like Rashi says, like a king or a bandit, that if you ignore him, he might kill you. So you're allowed to be shoyel b'shleimai. The Rush says that it's not mistabra that it means somebody that could kill you, pekuach nefesh, you could also be mafsik in the middle of Shemayna Esrei, and this is Kriya Shema, it's less common than Shemayna Esrei. It means somebody where there's an obligation of yira, that like a parent or a Rebbe, the Torah says that you're supposed to have a moira for a parent, so parents, Rebbeim, also go into that category. Now, incidentally, before we go on, so all of this is all brought down in Shulchan Aruch, which basically sounds like you can have a lot of conversation going on around the table. This is during Kriya Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, right? Because Mepnei HaKavod, Mepnei HaYira, to be Meshiv, you know, even sometimes to be Shayol. So, what you know, when exactly could the rabbi say that you're not allowed to talk? So it's important to point out that there's a Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura here in Samach Vav Sif Katan Beis says that all this is not negayin nowadays, because this is all, the idea is that you're supposed to not be offending somebody. So if somebody that you're supposed to say hello to, then you know, depending on you know what the position of the person is, when they're covered, I'll call on them. If somebody you're supposed to say hello to, you should be allowed to say hello. But nowadays, when people come into shul, everybody knows that you're not mafsik during Kriya Shema. So if you come in and you say, hey, how you doing? And the guy, instead of answering back, Baruch Hashem, how are you? He says, You'll understand. He means in the middle of Kriya Shema, and you won't be insulted, no matter who it is. Even right, even if it's some Pnei Akub and Pnei Yuri, you're not going to be insulted. So therefore, nowadays, we don't follow any of these halachas. Well, we'll see soon. Valina will come in a few minutes to an illustration of where this is still very negay, halacha lamaisa. But generally speaking, we don't follow these halachas. But HaKavana, these are halachas on the books, that there are certain situations where you're allowed to be mafsik from the Akavit, from the Ayira. Then the Mechaber says that even what we allowed Be'emtza HaPerek, right? We allowed Be'emtza HaPerek to be Meshiv from the Akavit and to be Shoyol from the Ayira, but that's all once you start to Haftas Hashem Alekecha. But in the middle of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, you're not allowed to be mafsik for anything. Even Pnei Hayira, with the only excuse at that point, the Mechaber says, is if it's Mamash Pekuach Nefesh, somebody that you're afraid would kill you. If you don't, then you do whatever you need to do. But otherwise, in the middle of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, you're not allowed to be mafsik for anything or anyone.
If you got an Aliyah, you're allowed to be mafsik?
Not at that point, for sure. Bein HaPrakim for an Aliyah, I think yes. But I would have to look it up to know for sure.
In the back of the Siddur.
Right, they're right. In the back of the article Siddur, they have everything. Yeah. Now, this halacha, this last line that the Mechaber put in, by Shema and Baruch Shem, there's no heter to be mafsik for anything. Where does that come from? The Mechaber says it. Now, everything in the Mechaber, the Mechaber of Yosef Cairo wrote a sefer earlier called the Beis Yosef, and everything in the Shulchan Aruch comes from the Beis Yosef. Take a look in the Beis Yosef. He writes, Matsosi Kosov. This halacha, he says, I saw it written somewhere. It's a very strange, okay, it's not a Gemara. It's not a Gemara anywhere. It's not, it's not a Rambam. None of the earlier places can bring it. The Beis Yosef says, Matsosi Kosov. In the Kesef Mishnah, which is also written by the Beis Yosef, that's his Pirush on the Rambam, he writes over there that the Ramach, who was an earlier commentary on the Rambam, brings it down, which is true. B'shem HaYerushalmi, which is not. At least we don't have any such Yerushalmi. It's not a Babli, it's not a Yerushalmi. One of the Rishonim said it over, B'shem HaYerushalmi, but it's not there.
Which point?
This idea that during Shema, the Pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem is more Chamer, and all of these rules are suspended during Shema and Baruch Shem. It just doesn't say it anywhere. And it's, but the Beis Yosef writes Matzasi Kosov, and it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and we follow this, but it's a big mystery what the makar is. Now, over there in the Bir HaGra, the Gra says, because otherwise, why didn't Yaakov respond to Yosef? He was saying Kriya Shema. Adkan, that's as much as he says. Now let me just add a little bit because there's a Taz, the Taz that goes along these lines. The Taz says that Yosef was a Melech. And right, we have in Parshas Vayechi, Vayishtach Yisrael Arosh Hamita, that even though Yosef really officially was a Mishnah Melech, but we see in Parshas Vayechi, Vayishtach Yisrael Arosh Hamita, and Chazal of there say because that he was being chilly covered the Melech, he was treating Yosef with the power of a Melech. And this is an interesting nafkamina. We mentioned the Machalik is Rashi in the Rush about what it means b'pnei Ayira. Rashi says it means a king, because a king could kill you. And Taisus, the Rush, they say that it means, no, anyone that you're supposed to have respect for. So the Mishabura writes, it makes a nafkamina for a Melech Yisrael. A Melech Yisrael is not going to kill you, but there's a chiyuv of respect. So because we pass like the Rush, so that's also considered b'pnei Ayira. So that sets up the kasha. Why wasn't Yaakov responding to Yosef? Yosef is a melech, and he's saying, "Hi, Dad." So why wasn't he answering? So Chazal say because he was in the middle of Kriya Shema. But even in the middle of Kriya Shema, you're allowed to be meishiv b'nei Ayira. Is there ever a place that you're not allowed to be meishiv b'nei Ayira? It must be. It's muach from this medrash that there's some place where you're not allowed to be meishiv b'nei Ayira. So from there we see that during the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, that's when you're not allowed to be made from Pnei Yira. That's the Gra. He says that this is the makar for this halacha. So now if the Gra could say in the Bira Gra that this medrash is the makar for a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that means he took it quite literally, that this was a real Kriya Shema with Hilchas Kriya Shema, and we can learn halachas from here.
Or Yosef didn't say anything. Maybe just fell on his neck. What's that answer?
That's a great ha'ara. I want to bring this in. The Gra doesn't go into it in more detail, but I think it's important to add, to flesh out this point that the Gra is making. If we're supposed to learn from Yaakov, that you're not allowed to be mafsik at all, even for the Ayira, during the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. But as Yitz points out, we don't see that there was a conversation. It was all about falling on shoulders. So what's the halacha of gestures? Are gestures also included in the Isser to be mafsek? So there's a Gemara in you. This is a very geshmak. The Maramakam for this is a sugya Maseches Yuma called the Kabutal sugya. What's the Kabutal sugya? So there's a Mishnah in Maseches Yuma where it's talking about the Kohen Gadol the night before, in the night of Yom Kippur. They were trying to keep him up all night. And it says that they would read to him. They would read to him interesting things like Daniel and Iyov and Divrei Hayamim. And then there was a Tana named Rav Zecharia ben Kabutal. And he says, I used to have this job. He was a Tana, I guess, that lived while the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, and then he was still alive afterwards. And he says, I used to have this job, and I read, what does he say? I think he says that I read Daniel. I used to read Daniel to the Kohen Gadol. Then the Gemara, that's on Yerches, and the Gemara on Daf Yutes says that Rav had a son of Chiya Bar Rav, and this Rav Chiya Bar Rav had a Rebbe. I don't remember the Gemara names. A certain Rebbe was teaching Rav Chiya Bar Rav. He was teaching him the Mishnah, and he was teaching him that Rav Zecharia ben Kaputol says, and he said Kaputol with a pay. In the Mishnah, we have Kabutal with a base. That's why I say it's the Kabutal Sugya. It was a question about how to pronounce this name. So this Rebbe of Rav's son, this Malamed, he said Rav Zecharia ben Kaputal. And the Gemara says, Machvile Rav, that Rav started to demonstrate that it's not Kaputal, it's Kabutal. I don't know how you demonstrate. I guess the sign language for a bays. I don't know how he demonstrated it. But the Gemara says that Machmilei Rav. Rav tried to demonstrate, even to correct the Rebbe, that it's not Kaputal, it's Kabutal. Okay. Correct the Gemara. Why is he demonstrating sign language? Why doesn't he just tell him? So Gemara says, because he's in the middle of Kriyashma. So correct the Gemara. In the middle of Kriyashma? But we learned in Hebrew, so they're not allowed to gesture either. Like Yikrates Be'enov, something besvasav, I don't remember the Lashon, says you're not allowed to make signs and sign language and gestures. You're not allowed to do it during Kriyishma. And then the Gemara answers, Kama Parashah Rishon and Kama Parashah Shania. There's different levels of, like we said before, there's different levels of Bein HaParak and Be'emtza HaParak. But even within Be'emtza HaParak, there's different levels, Parashah Rishon and Parashah Shania. And in the Parashah Rishon, it's usher even to be, even to make gestures. So that we could, I think we need to add that to complement what the Gro is saying to complete the Vart. That's why Yaakov couldn't be Nafal al Tzavarav, even though Shalom over here was to be Meishim Mepnei Ayira, which is Mutter even Be'emsa Perek, but it must be that there's a place where it's even more Chomer. And based on that, the Machaber said, so Pasuk Rishayin and Baruch Shem is more Chomer. There's a very Geshmaka Har in the Bir Halacha, that's the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, he has a kasha on this. He says, if the whole makar for this halacha is from the story of Yaakov and Yosef in Parshas Vayigash, then why does the Mechaber say that the part of Kriyishma that has this elevated stringency is the Pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem? He says, Baruch Shem did not exist yet. Baruch Shem was invented in Parshas Vayichi. In next week's parasha, that Yaakov Avinu says, he comes to Shimon b'nei Yaakov, Shimon Yisrael Avichem, and in that pasuk there's a medrash that they called out to him, Shema Yisrael Shem L'Kein Hashem Echad, and then he responded back to them, Baruch Shem Kvar Baruch Shem L'Lam Va'ed, and then the Gemara has a whole discussion because of that, of why we say it, Balachash, but Al-Kapanim, it developed in next week's parasha. So in Parashas Vayigash, if at the time that he met Yosef, he was saying Shema, he was probably saying Shema without Baruch Shem. So then that was, she wasn't being mafsik to fall on Yisrael's shoulders. You could tell me it was during the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but not during Baruch Shem. So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on this gra, again, you see how far we're taking this, that we're mamish being medactic in this story, halacha lamaisa. The Bir Halacha says that if based on the gra, that the makar is from this story, I would say that it should only be true for the first pasuk, not for Baruch Shem. And then he says, "V'tzarech iyun lamaisa." I mean, even though that's what he thinks, but on the other hand, he doesn't want to argue on what it says explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "V'tzarech iyun lamaisa."
Right.
But we know that the story of Yaakov giving the brachas happened later than Yaakov arriving in Mitzrayim. That's for sure in correct the chronological order.
From is it including Baruch Shem or is it just between it?
No, it's Shema and Baruch Shem.
The whole
thing. Right. No, actually, the Bir Halacha, if I'm not mistaken, says it's during Shema, it's during Baruch Shem. What about between the two? He says that he's not sure. I think the Mishbur, the Bir Halacha, clears that Shaila.
It's the only two sukkim that you have to understand.
That long.
Right, that's true also. Mean. Right, all right.
We don't understand after and Shema, you're still Yotze. Mm-hmm. But those two, you have to understand what the words mean.
That's right.
Baruch Lamais, it's really shy for the briskers because you go Shema, you know, the Shema takes a very long
time. You mean, so you have a raya that Yaakov Avinu said Shema like a brisker?
Okay. See the Shosfarim,
okay, yeah. Now, so this is the halacha that the Bir Agra learns from this story. Al-Gabanu, this whole siman of Shulchan Aruch, right, about the Bnei Akov, Bnei Yira, so we said before, the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't do this nowadays, we don't say hello to anybody in the middle of Kriya Shema, so it's more or less not Negeya. But that was Sif Aleph of the siman Samach Vav. You get to Sif Gimel, though, and then there's a series of halachas that's very, very Negeya, but it's based on this halacha. On this halacha that you're allowed to be shayel lomeshim v'nei akov v'nei ayira. So there's a Tosfos on the Yud Gimel Amud Beis who says that if you're allowed to be meshiv v'nei hakovoid to a friend, to a machacham, you're allowed to be meshiv v'nei hakovoid, then it's mistavrit zok Tosfos that the same should be true if you're saying Kriya Shema and the tzibur is up to Kaddish. Or Kedusha, and there's a Yehesh Shmei Rabbo, there's a Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So what's the din there? It's not Mavur anywhere in the Gemara, what you're supposed to do if that happens in the middle of Kriya Shema. Tosfos said we can learn from this Mishnah. Because in Mepnei Kvoid Basar V'dom, you're allowed to be Mafsik, Mepnei Kvoid HaMokar Malachas Kama V'chama, there's a Kal V'chomer, from the Kavoid of a Basar V'dom, to the Kvoid HaShchina, Kvoid HaShemayim, and Kadosh, 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 Yehesh Shmei Rabba, that's Kvoit Shemayim. And therefore, Zok Tosfos, you're allowed to be mafsik for in the middle of Kriya Shema, in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema, to answer to Kadosh and Kedusha. That's Tosfos' Chiddush, and that's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Gimel, that for even Emtza Parasha, for Kadosh, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, the Mechaber says, because Tosfos says it's based on this Kal V'chomer.
Isn't there a Tosfos someplace that learns out Shomea Kohane in that case?
Tosfos says Legabi Tfida.
Kedusha
Le'inyan Shemayin Esrei. During Shemayin Esrei, Tosfos says you should rely on Shomea Kohane. But during Kriya Shema, we do call out, we're mafsek, and the reason for that is because Bnei Kvoid Vasa V'dom, you're mafsek, so for Kvoid Shemayim, it's a Kal V'chomer. The Rosh brings down this Tosfos, and he says that he agrees with this Tosfos, and then he writes something interesting. He said, I tried very hard to convince my Rebbe. The Rosh's Rebbe is the Maharam Rutenberg. He was the biggest Pesach in Ashkenaz in the 1200s. And the Rosh says, I tried very hard to convince my Rebbe, but he wasn't buying it. The Maram Rutenberg disagreed. He held that you're not allowed to answer Kaddish and Kedusha or Baruch Hu during Kriya Shema.
I don't know what
the Maram would have said about Bein HaParokim, because the Rosh doesn't tell us that much detail. But we paskin that it's mutter even b'emtza perek, and he says, I tried to convince my Rebbe, he wasn't buying it. So why wasn't he buying it? What's the counter argument? The I mean, if after all, the Kal V'chomer, it seems pretty sound. If we make Kvoid Bas V'dom, you're allowed to be Mafsik. So for Kvoid Shemayim, Malach has Kama V'chama. So the counter argument. Interesting. That's not, he doesn't say that, but there is an interesting discussion, which we're not going to go into, of why we don't say that against these Rishonim. But I'm going to pass on that, but that's a good ha'ara. But what the svara for the Rambam Rutenberg is that when you're saying Kriya Shema and then somebody comes along and says hello, so now there's a conflict between two parties. There's the Rabbeinu Shleilim, and there's this person. So obviously the Rabbeinu Shleilim is more important, but under certain circumstances, the halacha allows you to go give some honor to this person. But when it's Yehi Shmei Rabba, and you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, so what's the struggle over here? It's all the Rabbeinu Shleilim. So why should you be mafsik from giving this praise to the Rabbeinu Shleilim so you could go give that praise to the Rabbeinu Shleilim? Of course, giving praise to the Rabbeinu Shleilim is more important than saying hello to your friend. But I'm doing that already. I'm saying Shema Yisrael. That's also praise to the Rabbeinu Shleilim. Go be mafsik Shema Yisrael to say Yehi Shmei Rabba, Mehecha Taisi. Why is that? There's a maila of the, there is a maila of the Yehi Shmei Rabba, but there's a maila in Shema Yisrael also. So the Maram Rumberg felt, therefore, that there's no reason to go be mafsik from the Shevach that you're in the middle of giving to go give a different Shevach. They're all Shevach to the Rabbeinu Shleilim. Taisus and the Rosh say no. They say, like the point that you were making, that this is what the Tzibur is doing. They make the Kal V'chomer, but the Kal V'chomer is not so poshut, right? Because the Svar of the Rambam Rutenberg, that why be mafsik one Shevach for the Rabbeinu Shleilim to go give a different? It's all Hakol Shevach, Hakol Shevach Shel Makom. I think is the lashon that the Rishonim use when they're explaining that position. Now, there's the Magen Avraham writes that when it comes to the Machaber talks about Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. The Magen Avraham says that how about if you're in the middle of saying Kriya Shema, with Birchas Kriya Shema, and then there's thunder. You hear thunder outside. So you know that when we sing a bracha, when we hear thunder, we're supposed to say a bracha. The Magen Avraham says you say that bracha in the middle of Kriya Shema. Because he says the same Kal V'chomer that Tosfos says, we pass him like Tosfos, that if for the Shevach of a bus of a dome, you're mafsik for the Shevach of a Makar, Malachas Kama V'chama. Over here, he's supposed to say a brach of Isim Isim Bereid, or Shkoich Grasim Ali Ailam, that's the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shvach HaShal Makayim, Kvayt Shemayim. So you could be mafsik, Nov Kriya Shema, the same Kal V'chomer that Tosfos used for Yehi Shmei Rabba. He says, I would say the same thing for the brach on thunder.
Say it later.
Now, no, you can't say the brach on later. You have to say that immediately.
Right away.
Yeah. So now there's a tshuva from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where he takes this chiddush of the Magen Avraham. He takes it to task. He says it's really not so pashut that we could compare the two. He says, we're saying over the Kal V'chomer sort of like in very broad strokes. If you map it for the Kvod Bas V'dam, what exactly are we referring to? I don't know, the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about Shoyel, Meshiv. That whole business. We see that sometimes you could be mafsik for Kvoy Bas of Adam. Well, if there are sometimes you can mafsik for Kvoy Bas of Adam, so Kal V'chomer you can be mafsik for Kvoy Shemayim. So, Dr. Ricky Vager, if you read Tosfos carefully, you see Tosfos wasn't pointing like a general finger at that whole Mishka Babel in the Mishnah. Tosfos says that in the Mishnah there was a machlekes remain Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. And in Cain, if so, then it should follow that you're allowed to be mafsik for Yehi Shmei Rabba and for Kedusha. Which means that there was something, a very specific piece that he was comparing to the Yehi Shmei Rabba. So what was the machlekes remain Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, again, I want to avoid getting into the very nitty-gritty details of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda had said that you could be, that Be'em Zaperik, you could be Meishiv Pnei HaKavod, and your mayor said you could only be Meishiv Pnei HaYira. Just like you can only be Shalom Pnei, you can only be Meishiv Pnei HaYira. And Tosfos said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore you can answer Yehi Shmei Rabba, which means that Tosfos, for some reason, was considering the Yehishmei Rabbah to be on the level of Mpnei HaKavod and not a level of Mpnei Yira. Now, maybe it's Tzarech Bir, how Tosfos came to this formulation. We'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. But he says, but this much is clear in Tosfos. Tosfos was being very precise over here.
The view is more Mekel in general, right? The mayor says only Yira, Yira could be, I don't know, maybe Sofi Pikuach Nefesh or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So he's more Mekel, therefore you could do the limit.
So that's just where Rabbi Meir is gonna get to. So let me take it one step at a time. He says that, at first he says that I see that Tosfos was only allowing us to say the Yehishmei Rabbah because we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, the Yalad Rameshim Pnei HaKavod. Now, right, so, because he considered this to be on the level of Pnei HaKavod. And the level of Pnei HaKavod, again, the nitty-gritties, is that is only mutter to be Meshiv, but not to be Shoyal. So he considered the Yehishmei Rabbah to be mutter because it's considered being Meshiv, not being Shoyal. Why is Yehishmei Rabbah considered being Meshiv? Sir Bikibeka says, because the Chazan saying Kaddish, the whole Tzibur is answering. So if you don't answer, it's like the conversation is going on and you're withdrawing from it. That's being Meshiv. That's, you're not initiating a conversation. The conversation is already going on. So that's on the level of being Meshiv. And being Meshiv is mutter only from Pnei HaKavod. And Tosfos allowed that because Yehishmei Rabbah is also considered Pnei HaKavod. But now along comes the Magen Avraham and he says, oh, Kal V'chomer for Kvoy Basav Adam, so Kal V'chomer for Kvoy Shemayim, so you could say, Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kayim V'Chalam HaShekoich HaGrasim Al Yailam. He says, that's not being Meshiv, that's being Shayol. There's no, that's not already a conversation that's going on, that the Chazan is saying Kaddish and the whole Tzibur is answering. The whole Tzibur is saying Kriya Shema, and there's a thunder outside. And now the Shayla is, could I start a conversation by making a bracha? That's already being Shayol. And you're not allowed to be Shayol when you're covered in the middle of Kriya Shema. So therefore, Rabbi Kiveger says, I would have said the opposite of the Magen Avraham, that it should be Usser. So my first thought would be that based on this diuk of Tosfos, it should be Usser to say the bracha of Shekoich HaGrasim Al Yailam. He says, but that's my first thought, and that's based on a diuk in Tosfos. But then I have a second thought. My second thought is, so now we'll come back to the point I made before. Why did Tosfos decide that this is on the level of Pnei HaKavod and not on the level of Pnei HaYira? Obviously, Hashem is one that we have Yira for also. So it must be because Tosfos is going with Shittas Rashi. That Pnei HaYira means what you were saying, that Pnei HaYira means somebody that might kill you. And we know that Hashem is not going to kill us for not answering Yehishmei Rabbah. So that's a Pnei HaYira, it's only Pnei HaKavod. But according to the Rosh, now, Pnei HaYira includes anyone that you're supposed to have Yira for, like your Rebbe and your parents. So then the Yehishmei Rabbah should be on the level of Pnei HaYira, and then you're allowed to be Shayol also. And if that's true, so then he says the Halacha, so he says, I changed my mind. The Halacha, we should say yes, like the Magen Avraham. Because even though the Shekoich HaGrasim Al Yailam is considered a Shayol, not a Meshiv, and it's only Mutter Pnei HaYira, but the way we pass him, like the Rush's definition of Pnei HaYira, that means anyone that you're supposed to have Yira for, then Yehishmei Rabbah or any brachas that you make to Hashem are also Pnei HaYira. And therefore, Shetaka be Mutter, so the Magen Avraham ends up deciding, Rabbi Kiveger ends up deciding, I agree with the Magen Avraham, that you should be able to make the bracha. So he goes back and forth, he makes a diak from Tosfos, not like that, but then he ends up passing, and yes, like the Magen Avraham, they should be able to make the bracha of Shekoich HaGrasim Al Yailam in the middle of Kriya Shema. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, though. Mishnah Berurah, he brings down the Magen Avraham, says that you're allowed, but then he says, but the Chayyadim says that you're not allowed. He says you could do it Beina Prakim, but not Be'emtza Perek. The Mishnah Berurah isn't Machriya, but the general rule is that when the Mishnah Berurah brings down two opinions, we go l'chumra, especially in the case of question of brachas, safek brachas. I would say based on the Mishnah Berurah, the instructions are, I mean, the halacha lemaisa seems to be that we don't say that if you hear thunder and you're in the middle of a parak of Kriya Shema, you don't answer. Beina prakim, meaning you don't say the brach of Shkoyich HaVeras Malayam. Beina prakim you do, but in the middle of a parak you don't. We just learned this whole truth of Rabbi Kiveger explaining why it makes sense that you should, but the Mishnah Berurah is better as machlokes. The paisik on his bottom line seems to be that we don't.
Is that one of the mitzvahs the Rambam brings down?
No. Right. Oh, you mean is it part of the minyan mitzvahs to make a bracha on? Yeah. No.
So what is it, a minog?
It's the Durabanon. Brachas the Durabanon.
How do we know to do it?
It's the Durabanon. We're mesachet to make brachas. All brachas, except the Birkas HaMazon, are Durabanon. So what's the... So halacha l'maisa, we don't say the Koichah Gevarsim Aleilun of Kriya Shema. And why not? Rabbi Kveger just explained, he justified for us very nicely that if you make the Kal V'chomer, that Mifnei Kvoit Basar V'dam, or Mavzik Mifnei Kvoit HaShechina, Halach is Kama V'chama, so the Kal V'chomer works over here also. So, and I think the answer is this is really based on another piece within the same Rabbi Kveger. But for some reason he doesn't apply it to this part. But I'm just applying it. But it's Rabbi Kveger's thought. He says, you know, we mentioned before that there's a machloek is about this Kal V'chomer. Tesis makes the Kal V'chomer. The Rush, as I went around trying to convince people of the Kal V'chomer, but my Rebbe wasn't Makabalet. How do we paskin? So I said, look, in Shulchan Aruch it says that we're mafsik for Yehishmei Rabba, like Tesis, not like the Maram Emberg. So it sounds like we paskin like we do make the Kal V'chomer. Rabbi Kveger, elsewhere in the same tshuva, he makes the argument that really we don't pass on like this, Kal V'chomer. He says, if you take a look in Rabbeinu Yoina, Rabbeinu Yoina has a different makar for that which we say Yehesh Shmei Rabbah in the middle of Kriya Shema. It's not because of the Kal V'chomer that if we're mafsik for Kriya Basav Adom, we should mafsik for Kriya Shemaim, but it's because there's a Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph that clears a shayla about whether you say Yehesh Shmei Rabbah in the middle of Shemaina Esrei. The Gemara colors the Shaila. Now, how do we paskin? We paskin absolutely not. You're not allowed to. But Rabbeinu Yoina says, but if there's even a clear, then by Shemayna Esrei, then by Kriya Shema, which is less chomer than Shemayna Esrei, by Kriya Shema we should do it. So Zokta Rabbi Kveger, that's the real reason why we're mafsik for Yehi Shmei Rabbah. It's not because of the Kal V'chomer, but it's because of the Gemara that had a Havamina like this by Shemayna Esrei. So now listen to this. Rabbi Kveger says, if you read Rabbeinu Yoina carefully, Tosfos talked about Yehi Shmei Rabbah and Kedusha. In Rabbeinu Yoina, he adds Baruch Hu. And in Shulchan Aruch also it says Baruch Hu. Tosfos never mentioned Baruch Hu. The Rush, I think, also didn't mention Baruch Hu, but Rabbeinu Yoina added Baruch Hu, and it gets brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look in Rabbeinu Yoina, though, you'll notice that Rabbeinu Yoina says that you answer Baruch Hu, because it's just a few words. That's what Rabbeinu Yoina says. So Rabbi Kveger says, why do you need to throw that in? It's just a few words? And what does he mean exactly that it's just a few words? So he says, because Rabbeinu Yoina wasn't really relying on the Kal V'chomer. And that which you're allowed to answer Yehi Shmei Rabbah is really because the Gemara clears a shayla about Yehi Shmei Rabbah in the middle of Shemayin Esrei. But the Gemara never clears such a shayla about Baruch Hu. So Baruch Hu, on that basis, really we wouldn't allow during Kriya Shema. The reason why Baruch Hu was allowed, he says, is for a different reason. Because there's a rule of Toich Kedei Dibur, which there's Machlekes in Bava Kama exactly how long that is, but we paskin that it's up to four words. Sholem Alecha Rabbi Umayri, that's called Toich Kedei Dibur. And Toich Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, so anything that's less than that is not considered a hafsek. And the reason why Rabbi Yun was allowing Baruch Hu is because it's less than four words. Now, what do you mean it's less than four words? When the Chazan says Baruch Hashem Mevayrach, we answer Baruch Hashem Mevayrach La'ilam Ba'ed. It's five words. So Rabbi Kveger says it must be that Rabbeinu Yoina, when he adds Baruch, he didn't mean to say all five words. He meant to answer Baruch Hashem Mevayrach. Stop. Zok Rabbi Kveger Halacha L'Maisa. If the Chazan says Baruch and you're in the middle of Kriya Shema or Baruchas Kriya Shema, he's supposed to answer three words, not five words. Oh, wow. Just Baruch Hashem, just Baruch Hashem and Vayrach. Here? I guess. I'm not sure. I don't know. Here again, the Mishabura doesn't paskin that way, but Rabbi Kveger had paskin, again, based on this Tikkun Torah, that you just say those three words. Now, but just to bring it back to the Shekoicha Gevarsim Aleilam, that's a very, again, Rabbi Kveger doesn't fear this ice, but that's a very good hesber in why we say the Mishnah Berurah, Paskin the Lamaisa, that you don't say the Brach of Shekoicha Gevarsim Aleilam, because it's not one of the things that the Gemara declared about to be mafsik during Shemayin Esrei, so I don't have that basis, so the only basis then is something that's just a few words, Teichidei Dibur, while the Brach of Shekoicha Gevarsim Aleilam obviously is much longer than that. So that's the good argument to say that you shouldn't be mafsik for the Baruch Shekar Chivras Malayolam, which again, that's the halachal mice, the Mishnah Berurah seems to pass in that way.
But there's now, a very small probability that you be in the middle of Shema when somebody's saying Baruch Hu, right?
I think it happened to me this morning, actually. Because I sometimes daven, hey, I mean, I guess we most often have somebody's behind. I mean, you'd have to be very, very behind.
Yeah,
it's like, where could you be? No, so, okay, so after the way it happened to me this morning.
Maybe yesterday on the next
day. The way it happened to me this morning is that I was davening ahead because I knew that if I started Birchas Kriyas Shema with the Tzibur, I would not get up to Shema Nesri with the Tzibur. So I skipped the end of
Zimra,
and I started Birchas Kriyas Shema, and then I was in the middle of Birchas Kriyas Shema when the Chazan said Baruch Hu.
I think you could easily be in a minion factory, a place like the Kotel,
yeah,
where there's
so,
stacked up
minions. It makes enough to mean in a place like a minion factory.
I'm
also,
not good, minion factory.
Although I think some places can declare that maybe there should be different there, but. Okay, a last point. One more application of this Kal V'chomer. This gets into really a fascinating discussion. The Ritva in Yuma, Daf Yutes, back in the Kabutel Sogya, the Ritva says that...
I say Kabutel.
I say 5 Kabutelach a day. The Ritva over there says he gets into a discussion about this is a little bit off of his comment on the Gemara, but in the middle of his discussion, he says that let's say in the middle of Kriyas Shema, and you see somebody doing something wrong, so you need to speak up Lafushi Meisura in the middle of saying Kriyas Shema, and you hear somebody talking Lashon Hara,
not wearing a mask,
okay. And there's a lafushimi surah. So the mitzvah says, Savad, if you could do something with a gesture, that's better. But if you can't with a gesture, are you allowed to talk? He says, yeah, you're allowed to talk also. He says, because if mepnei kvoid bus of a dom, you're allowed to be mafsik. So mepnei kvoid shemayim alachas kama v'chama. If somebody's doing an aveira, and you're saying kriyas shema, but you could be mafsik kriyas shema to say hello to somebody. So vadi, you could be mafsik kriyas shema for kvod shemayim, and therefore he says lafushi meisura. Now this is not brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, as far as I was able to find, in Hilchas kriyas shema doesn't bring this down. But there's a Mishnah Berurah, fascinating piece in Hilchas Tefillah, which is more meaning when we say Hilchas Tefillah, we mean Shemayna Esrei, which of course over there it's much more chomer to be mafsik. Over there, the Mishnah Berurah discusses, are you allowed to be mafsik lafushime surah? Now, the case that he comes up with, he doesn't give one of these colorful scenarios where I'm in the middle of davening and then somebody else starts doing something wrong. The case that he gives is you're in the middle of davening and the people around you are also in the middle of davening, and then you realize that you're in a place where you're not allowed to daven. Because there's a, the Mishnah Berurah says, there was a baby that came into the shul and soiled the, you know, in the area and where people are davening, and now the halacha is that you're not allowed to daven like that. So you see it, so you stop. The details over here are a whole different discussion. There is a halacha of a tzaya that's covered, right? inside of a diaper is. Does not make this isser, although then it depends. If the smell could make an isser, but what he's talking about, the real isser de reisa, is that it's lying on the floor. It's lying on the floor. And the shul, the child had a real accident, and it spilled out, and now there's some tzaya sitting on the floor of the shul. So the Shabu says, it's an isser de reisa to daven like that. In isser de reisa, he says, he does it without bringing makaris, he just, Misvara, I mean his Makar, he says based on a rule that we find in the Gemara, that it's better to do a small Aveira to save others from doing a big Aveira, which itself is not so posh. There's a Gemara actually in Shabbos Daf Dal, which seems to say just the opposite, but there's a taste over there that says there's a series of that Gemara from other Gemara that tries to figure out the rules. But the Shabura says that there's a rule that, at least under some circumstances, it's better for you to do a small Aveira to prevent others from doing a big Aveira. To talk in the middle of Shemayna Esrei is at most an Issa Drabbanon, right? You're not allowed to talk in the middle of Shemayna Esrei, but the whole Shemayna Esrei is a Drabbanon, but Pashas.
Right.
To talk in the middle of Shemayna Esrei is surely no worse than a Drabbanon. To daven Shemayna Esrei in the presence of Tzaya is an Issa Deraisa. So if you see that other people are in the middle of davening here, then you're allowed to talk to be mafsik. You're allowed to talk in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei to tell them not to daven.
His davening's over.
What?
His davening's over because he saw he can't daven there anymore.
Well, that's interesting. He saw he can't daven anymore. So he's anyway not davening. That's a great kasha. Why is this already not in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Maybe I'm forgetting a detail, but maybe the case is that you happen to be in front of it, it's behind you. So for you, it's not usser, but for the people behind you, it is usser. I'm just making this up, I don't remember if you. It's in Mishmir, the end of Simit Sadi. We can take a look over there. I hear the Kasha. But I'll give you I want to end with a different case, different pair of cases, which brings us out in a little of a more halacha l'maaseh, relevant halacha l'maaseh way. Let's say a person in the middle of davening at home, and a child of his comes over and picks up this. There's a non-kosher salami on the table. You bought it from the store, but by mistake, you bought the wrong salami. You're going to be bringing it back. But in the meanwhile, right, so now it's sitting on the table, and your five-year-old walks over and says, ooh, salami, and he's about to take a bite. So does this go into this halacha that lafushime isura? So the Mishmura says, the rule of the Mishmura says is that for an isadei raisa, lafushime from an isadei raisa, we are mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Lafushime from an isadei rabbanon, we're not mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So this is an interesting shaila. To take a bite of salami, obviously, is an isa deraisa. For a katan to take a bite of salami, is that also considered an isa deraisa? That's a very lumdish shaila. I'm going to put that shaila on hold. Really, what I want to bring out is I want to put it together with the second case. What the din is in that case, I'm not so clear about. But I think most people would, like, if they saw that unfolding in real time, they would realize they have at least a shayla on their hands, right? If I'm in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei, and my five-year-old walks over and he's about to take a bite out of a non-kosher salami, most people would realize that there's a serious shayla on their hands. Now, I'm just going to change the case a little bit, the final nekuda. Imagine that I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei at home, and there's a non-kosher salami there, and I have a five-year-old, and he comes over and he picks it up, and he starts going, vroom, 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 and he's making believe that it's a school bus. Nothing wrong with that, right? And then my six-year-old comes over, and I know it's about to happen. He's going to say, he's such a baby. Because whenever my five-year-old is doing that kind of thing, my six-year-old comes over and says, he's such a baby. What's the halacha now? Am I allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Because, meaning, the ha'ara is that if you're allowed to be mafsik in the first case, then you're allowed to be mafsik in the second case also, because that's also an isa deraisa. To tell somebody that you're such a baby and hurt his feelings, that's also an isa deraisa. Most people, I think, in the first scenario would say, oy vey, I better do something. I wish I knew what the halacha was, but they would realize there's a shayla here. But in the second case, there's just right? Nothing's really happening. But I think it's a vichli gahara that second case is also a real afrusha meisura. If anything, an even greater afrusha meisura, because to call somebody a baby, that's also an issur.
Okay, so not buy non-kosher salami.
No, right. That definitely avoids all such problems in the house.
You can never die. Right. You can do this at home if you have that.
Someone's sick. Yeah.